Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you on tonight. Thank you for joining us in the studio tonight. You could have been a lot of places doing a lot of things, but you chose to be here on tonight, and I don't believe that it's by accident that you have been chosen to listen in to tonight's show. So I am going to just play another song, and the reason I want to play another song is I want to just give honor to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit to step in on tonight and just give us a relevant word, a word in due season, and just begin to minister to us in this area that that we're going to be speaking about tonight. The title of tonight's show is It Ain't Nobody's Business But Yours. I'm going to repeat that. It ain't nobody's business but yours. I'm sure some of you, those out there that have that's experts in grammar and punctuation and all that, that ain't drove you crazy, but I did that on purpose. That is there for a purpose. So, again, I'm going to play one more song. I'm going to give our guests enough opportunity to get in and get situated in the studio so that we won't get a lot of background noise as people begin to enter into the studio. I'm going to go ahead and play another song. After the song, the next voice you hear will be my voice, and we will get into tonight's subject. Amen. Well, we're welcome back to the studio. On tonight, you are tuning in to Processing the Pain, and tonight's topic is Ain't Nobody's Business But Yours. Good evening. Well, tonight, that topic, I am going to try to present it as best as possible. I believe that it is a word that God wants us to get on tonight. A lot of us are running from our business. What you mean, Coach D? What I mean is that a lot of us know that we have a purpose and a destiny that we're supposed to be fulfilling. A lot of us know that we have a call on our life, a ministry, a kingdom business that we are supposed to be working and pursuing, and yet we have laid down on the job, so to say. We have the Jonah spirit, and everybody knows the story of Jonah, and Jonah had a call, and God was given him some instructions and some things that he wanted him to do. But Jonah had other plans. He did not want to do what God had called him to do. And he was running from the call. And as a result of him running from the call, he ended up going through a traumatic journey. You know, they say he ended up in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And oftentimes I think that's kind of symbolic for the resurrection, you know, Jesus going down and you know, into the grave and then resurrecting. And so sometimes we will dig a grave for ourselves, and we will begin to dig and dig and run and hide and hide and run, as Adam and Eve did in the garden when they ate of the forbidden fruit and God came back to commune with them, and they hid and run. They ran and they hid themselves with the leaves and branches because they had came into the knowledge that they were naked. And they didn't want to commune no more because they came into a conscious state, a conscious knowledge. And so I'm saying all this to say is that are you digging a grave for yourself? Are you digging this grave for yourself that you're running from the purpose that God has shared with you for your life and what he wants you to do? I'm going to go to a very familiar scripture. I'm going to read from there. I'm setting up the foundation, so just bear with me. I know a lot of people don't like to read, but we really need to read, especially the Word of God, because that's our direction. That gives us our guidance. That gives us our strength so that we have something to win this spiritual war that we're in. We have to know the very mind of God, and we only going to know the very mind of God through the Word of God. Amen. So I'm going to read this scripture. Bear with me. I'm going to take us back to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 30. I want to set the scene because after I get through tonight, my hope is that you're going to look at your call a different way. You're going to realize that even in your imperfections, your imperfection should not stop you on moving out and doing what you know in your heart that you've been told to do. So let's go with this. And the parable goes as this. We all know the parable of the talent. And in there it says, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents? Look, I have gained 2 more talents. Besides them, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a man, a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Amen. We were reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. And tonight's topic again is, it ain't nobody's business but yours. So now you probably could understand where that topic came from. It ain't nobody's business but yours. And then we just read from Matthew 25. It spoke about the talents, and it spoke about being responsible and accountable to the call and the gift and the talents that God has given us. It dropped in my spirit earlier this week during my quiet time, and what the word came to me was, it is our responsibility to answer or to step up to the call of God on our lives. God's call is not contingent on our character flaws. Romans 11:29 tells us that God's gifts and calls are irrevocable. Without repentance, he makes no apologies. Our inability to step up to the call and adjust accordingly does not cancel it out. It doesn't cancel out the call, but could prove to be detrimental for the one that is called. So what tonight's show is about is that, what are the areas in our lives, what are the restrictive areas in our lives that are causing us not to receive, not to step up, and not to walk in the call that's in our lives? You know, oftentimes I hear us as believers, and I have friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that I spoke to, and they're doing ministry. These brothers and sisters that I'm speaking of and that I have in mind right now, they're definitely doing ministry. And so oftentimes we'll see someone in ministry, leadership, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are not operating according to integrity. They may be not operating in good character. They may not be accountable. And so it's natural for us to automatically see that and speak against it. It's natural for us to say, well, how could she do this? She is a Christian. She's ministering to people. Or we'll say, well, how did he not do this? How can he say that if he's ministering to people? And I know all of us could probably think of, even in our own lives maybe, people or ourselves, that there's things that we do, there's issues in, that we have, there's flaws in our character that that from the outside looking in will cause people to doubt who we are in Christ, that will cause people to doubt, are we really who we say we are? Are we really practicing what we preach? Are we preaching what we practicing? And so I say this. is to say that even in that, and I've been guilty of it, it dropped in my spirit on this week. And I'm not saying that we are not held accountable, because in the Word of God, it does say that those of us who are called, that those of us who are in leadership, we are accountable. But what I'm saying to you is this. Just because someone has a character flaw does not alleviate the call of God on their life. God is saying to us that my call is not contingent on your character flaws. In other words, he has given a call on your life from the foundation of the earth. This call, what you're walking in, your ministry, your gifts, your talents have already been given. That's done. That is past tense. It's done. He's not taking it back. It's not irrevocable. It's there. Now, how you choose to utilize that call, how you choose to operate in that call, how you choose to conform to that call is totally up to you. It's totally up to you. And so what I had to ask myself on this week is this. God loved me, you, so much to consider us for the call in our lives. Do we love him enough to conform to those calls? And that's really what it's about on tonight. That's what we're talking about. He's already placed the calls in our life, but do we love him enough to conform to the call? What do you mean, Coach D? What do you mean conform to the call? Simply what I mean is, are we willing to walk in the character, the integrity, and the accountability to be Christians in action? And Christian simply means, let's just break it down to its most simplest form, it means Christ-like. When we say we are Christians, we are telling the world around us that we are Christ-like. Are we acting Christ-like? Or is the world seeing us simply as just another person in the world? Are we willing to conform to the Word of God and the call that's in our life, or are we going to conform to the world around us? The world or the Word? That's the question. Because the call is there, and it's going to be there. And you can either taint your testimony by doing things that's contrary to what you've been called to, or you could get in line. You could get in line with what you've been called to. We know that none of us is perfect. We already know that. But we got to stop using that as a cliche, and we got to stop being comfortable with that. And I know the Word of God said that there's no one perfect, no, not one, and I get that. But hear me if you will. We have to stop using "I'm a work in progress" as a crutch. We have to stop using terms like "God knows my heart." We have to stop using terms like "don't judge me." Because we're using those as crutches, and we're using those as cliches that's actually saying, I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to be held accountable for what I do. I'm going to walk this way, and I don't want you to tell me how to walk. And we are coming in a time now where we can no longer play church. We could no longer sit on the bench and watch the game. We have to get involved. We have to get in the game. And we have to play the game, even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. And I could give a personal testimony to that. And the personal testimony of anybody that's listening in on tonight, if God has given you a mission, he's given you something, a dream, a vision, an idea. Okay, all intents and purposes, I'm calling it the call on your life. That call can consist of dreams and visions and ideas and talents and gifts, all these things. And so what I'm saying to you is that when you decide to sit on the bench, when the game of life is going and you don't want to play in the game because you don't want to get hurt, and you don't want to get bruised and you don't want to get tackled, you know, you don't want to fumble, you don't want to take any type of calculated risk. But then you're sitting on the bench and you probably stagnate, you're bitter, you're angry, you really are, because you're really mad at yourself because you're not willing to take the risk to get in the game, because with the risk, there comes some rewards with that risk. You know, the definition of entrepreneur is taking calculated risk for personal gain, for personal profit. And so when you step out in the call, when you step out to live out those dreams and those visions that you get, that you've been given, it comes with rewards. It truly do. As we've seen in Matthew chapter 25, when the master came back and he began to sit with each one, it was the ones that was willing to take the risk, it was the ones that was willing to get off the bench and get in the game that was rewarded. And it said it in the Word of God, because he says to he who has little, because he was good, he was faithful over the little, he received much. So these gentlemen took what they were given and they worked it. They were willing to get in the game. They were willing to play, and they multiplied their value. They doubled in each situation. They doubled their value. And even though one had five and one had two and one had one, the one with five received five more. The one with two received two more. So he doubled. They each doubled what was given to them. So that means that they were good stewards over what their master had left them. Same scenario with us. Are we good stewards over what God has called us to do? What did God call you to do? Because everybody has a purpose. Everybody has gifts. Everybody has talents. Everybody's talents and gifts are not the same. But everybody has a job here on this earth, especially as a believer. There is a job for you. And you have to be willing to use what you have been gifted with. The talents that you've been given, are those talents sitting on the back burner? Or are you using them? Are you putting them to work? Are they sitting on the shelf somewhere? Why are you not using your talents? I've heard everything. I've heard from the fact of, well, I used to love to sing when I was a little girl, but then some family members told me I didn't know how to sing. So I stopped singing. And come to find out, you had the most beautiful voice, but because somebody spoke a word that killed your vision, that killed your dream, that killed your idea, you never pursued it again. And I'm going to tell you something. When we are not walking in our gifts and talents, when we are not walking in our dreams, visions, and ideas, when we are not walking in what God's called us to walk in, we are miserable. We're tossing and turning. We have an uneasiness. Right here in the pit of our stomach, there's an uneasiness because we are not walking in the fulfillment of the purpose that we have for our lives. It ain't nobody's business but yours. Because your purpose, your call, the dreams and visions that you have laying dormant in you, that's your business that God has left for you to manifest. And you can't manifest it if you're stagnant. You can't manifest it if you're not moving. You can't. It says faith without works is dead. So when we're sitting on the bench of life and we're opting not to go out into the field and play the game, we're not operating in faith. And it says in the Word of God that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have now established the fact that We all have a reason for being here, especially as believers, that we all have a call. We all have dreams and visions and ideas that we are to manifest here on earth as it is already done in heaven. It's a completed work. We are the manifestation of the choice that we made beforehand. We are the manifestation of the completed work. So it is our job through the Word of God, relationship with God, and walking on that Word, because this Word is the keys that unlock. The Words are the keys that unlock these things. So it's our job to pull through prayer and worship and praise the finished work from the spiritual realm into the natural. Ooh, somebody, I hear somebody saying, ooh, Coach D, you're getting a little super spiritual. You're getting a little deep. But this is not Coach D. This is the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, he said, I want you to pray this way. I might be wrong. And if someone is listening in on tonight and you hear me, I need confirmation, because it says reality demands confirmation. And so if I'm not right, or if I need confirmation. So if you're listening in on tonight and you want to dial one on your dial pad and confirm this reality, because I want to make sure that those that's listening in know that this is not just Coach D, but this is the Word of God. And the Word of God says, this is how you pray. Or this is how you should pray. And I'm getting ready to pull that up because I want you to get it. I want you to hear it. As a matter of fact, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Well, I'm going to just take it straight down to, it tells you to pray in this manner. And it says in Matthew 6:10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. That's where we're at. Mm-hmm. We're here. As it is in heaven, already done in heaven. So when we get vertically aligned and tune into the Word of God, and we begin to meditate on the Word of God, there are these mysteries that begin to unravel, that they begin to reveal. That means they begin to unveil themselves. We begin to get an understanding of them. We begin to see, get a perception. So now we're reading the Word. The Word is becoming life to us. It's becoming what we hear as rhema. The Word is becoming rhema. It's tangible. It's real. We can see it now. And because we could see the Word, we could do it. And because we could do the Word, now we could begin to call these things out of the spiritual realm that's already completed into the natural realm. And then we could begin to see the manifestation of the finished work here in the earth. Now we could say, when God said, start a business, we could see that. And it doesn't seem impossible to us, because we've already seen we already know the Word of God and what the Word of God says about it. When we begin to fear, we see the Word of God that tells us that he didn't give us a spirit of fear. When we begin to worry and doubt, we see the Word of God. When we know that there's things that we have to do because we got a dream put on the inside of us, and now we got to manifest it on the outside of us, but it seems impossible. But then we see the Word of God that says we could do all things, or nothing's impossible. Just because you have some scars, some battle wounds, because you've been in battle, we have all been in battle, all of us have a past, all of us have a story. And just because you have a story don't mean that you don't have a call. I'm going to say that again. Just because you have a story don't mean that you don't have a call. Your call is your call, and it's waiting on you. It's waiting on you to move forward. Again, I say to you that your character flaws, your call is not contingent on your character flaws. Now, in saying that, it is our responsibility to step up. It is our responsibility to conform to our call. It is our responsibility to study and show ourselves approved. All of that is our responsibility to do. We have to do that when we step into the call. But I want to say to you on tonight, stop letting your flaws cause you to sit on the bench. Stop letting your flaws cause you not to even get in the game. Move. Step. Pray. Seek. Knock. Ask. Because if you don't and you sit on the bench, you're still going to be held accountable. And I think that's what a lot of people feel like. If I don't know, then I don't have to be held accountable. So a lot of times people say, I don't go to church. I don't like church because this, this, and this. No, a lot of times people are not going to church because they don't want to hear the truth. Because it's easier for me to stay in my mess if I don't hear the truth about my mess. Because once I hear the truth about my mess, it's psychosomatic. I hear the truth about my mess, now I'm held accountable to my mess. I know it's mess even before I hear about it, because I know the inner truth of it. But there's a mental game we play with ourselves that if I don't hear it, if I don't know it, then I don't have to be held accountable to it. But just for us to even think that thought goes to show that we already know it. You already know what you're supposed to do. Whether you ever walk in a church and hear the preacher preach it or not. But you already know. So I'm saying to you is that it ain't gonna matter because it wasn't verbalized to you in the natural. It was already verbalized to you in your spirit. So you're still gonna be held accountable for what you don't do. In the natural, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound gory. So, for those that's listening in, no disrespect, but a mother, a woman that's been pregnant before, a woman has, if you ever as a woman experience a stillbirth, you know that at some point that baby was live in you. You conceived it, and it was in you. And then there's at a point where that baby stops moving. And sometimes you may not even know that until you get ready to give birth, you know, that the baby, you know, they may see signs now with all the technologies that there's an issue, that there's something going on. But I'm sure that back in the days before technology, a woman probably didn't even know until it came time to give birth that the baby was no longer living. Now, I know that's gory, but I want to say that because I want you to get that picture of that. Because do you know that God has already placed seeds of us? He's already placed visions and dreams and ideas in us. These are seeds that's in us that's waiting to be manifested. And so what happens is that when we don't walk out on these dreams, visions, and ideas, when we don't birth them, then they stay in us and they become stillborn. And don't you know, if a stillborn, that dead baby is birthed, but just could you imagine if that stillborn baby never came out? What would be the consequences of that? The stench of it all? I could only imagine that it could start causing health issues, maybe even death to the mother. Don't you know when you have, don't you know when you have dreams, visions, and ideas in you that God has placed in you, and you're being stubborn and you're being rebellious and you're deciding you're not going to walk in those dreams, visions, and ideas, that those babies begin to die on the inside of you, and they sit there dead, and they begin to stench, and they begin to cause complications. What you mean, Coach D? How many people run around here sick in their bodies? How many people run around here sick with cancer and disease and disorder? And we could say, yeah, well, you know, such and such ate too much fried chicken and pork chops. And we could say, yeah, well, you know, such and such drank themselves to death. Why did he drink? Why did she drink herself? Why did she drug herself to death? Why? What was she trying to hide? What pain was she trying to numb? Could it be those dead babies in her stomach? Could it be the dead babies, I'm saying, in his stomach? Because men, in this sense, from a spiritual standpoint, you have some stuff in you too that you're supposed to be birthing. And when we don't birth it, it sits. It sits. And then it begins to die. And that death on the inside of us begins to manifest on the outside. It's called hate. It's called bitter. It's called angry. It's called frustrated. It's called just straight out mean. And we walk around mean and mad and angry because we never got a chance to birth those babies. We never got a chance to live that dream. We never got a chance to manifest that idea. And we're walking around bloated from the toxic of those dead babies that we never birthed. But there's hope tonight, because I think I got some dead babies in me. And you may have some dead babies in you. And you may have some dead babies in you. But there is hope tonight. There is hope because we serve the great physician. And he can change that situation around. He can heal you from those dead babies. He could give you a DNC. And maybe some people say, oh, a DNC? If you don't know what a DNC is a process that a woman goes through after she's miscarried. And when she's miscarried, there's a process that they do that they go up into her and they begin to clean her out. They begin to scrape her tubes. They begin to get all the gook in the leftover fetus and all this stuff they begin to scrape out of her. It's called a DNC, and it cleans her out. And it cleans her out and gives her another opportunity to conceive again. And so for you tonight, I pray that God will do a spiritual DNC on you to get the garbage out, to get the dead fetuses, the rotten fetuses that have been left in you because of words spoken, because of things done to you from your past, because of somebody else's dead fetuses. Then they projected their dead fetus toxic situation onto you. You were exposed to their dead fetus attitudes. And then you ended up with dead fetuses. And so you've been walking around for all your life, for most of your life, or some of your life, with these dead babies inside of you. And it's a heavy load to carry. And you couldn't understand why I'm so angry. I don't take no mess from nobody. But why? Because that's not godly. That's not Christian. That's not Christ-like. I'll just cuss them out. That's not Christ-like. So what are these dead babies inside of you? Get them out. It don't even matter what they used to be. It don't even matter if it was a boy or if it was a girl. It don't matter if it was twins or triplets. It don't matter if it maybe it was deformed. I don't know. But what I'm saying to you is that God is the great physician. And through prayer and through meditating and through worship, you could go before God and you could repent and you could say, God, please take these dead babies from me. Cleanse me out. Give me another chance. Give me another opportunity to make right choices. Give me another opportunity to do what you've called me to do. Clean me out, Lord. I submit to you. I repent. Forgive me. Forgive me for the death of those babies. Forgive me for not choosing prenatal care. Forgive me for not taking my vitamins so that the babies could be healthy and strong. Forgive me for not going to my prenatal appointments, going to see and making sure that the babies on the inside of me are fine so that they can manifest on the outside of me and be a blessing and a promise to others. You could go to God and do that because he's that kind of God. That's who he is. And he will do that. He will hear your cry. He will forgive you. He will turn you around. He will cleanse you out. And he will begin to cause you to conceive again. It's not too late. If you're listening to me, you can't see me. But if you could just do this for me, just take a deep breath and blow out slowly. If you was able to do that, as my mentor tells me, then it's not too late. It's not too late for you to conceive again. It's not too late for you to start birthing your dreams, visions, and ideas, those babies. The world is waiting on you. You've held the world up long enough because each one of us got something that we need to birth into the earth. And the earth been waiting on us to get it together. The earth been waiting on us to get off the bench. The earth been waiting on us to get in the game. He can't come back until we first get right. And so let's be about our Father's business. Let's be kingdompreneurs. Let's begin to do things and making sure that the things we do is strictly got to do with the kingdom of God. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Now that you realize that you got some dead babies on the inside of you, schedule your DNC. Get that stuff up out of you so that you can begin to conceive again, that you can begin to move forward again, that you can begin to be all that God's called you to be in this season. Don't walk around stinking no more, because don't you know that death stinks? Anywhere there's death, there's stink. There's an odor. And that's so funny, because we've been walking around stinking, only person that don't know we stinking is us. Everybody else can see our stink. Everybody else say, she stank. Oh yeah, he stank. Oh yeah. What's the stink? The bad attitudes, the bitterness, the anger. So we all walking around stinking. And I would say tonight to you again, we all have the opportunity to seek God, to ask for forgiveness, to repent, to get back on track and begin to conceive again. And I'm going to say this, and I know this from my heart. Make sure that you're doing what God's called you to do. Make sure that you're doing what God has called you to do. The risk of doing good things that are not God things, it's a big risk. It's a big risk. And it causes the dead babies. It causes the dead babies. And we know that God is the great physician and that he can heal and change and fix all things. But I will say this to you, God's grace is by his grace, his unmerited favor. And I say that to say because we also know as women that when we've left dead bodies up in us for so long, that we risk messing our whole system up. We risk never being able to get pregnant again. We risk, that's a risk. And I'm saying to you, get those babies, get that toxic, get it out of you. Get it out of you. Begin to conceive again. begin to walk again, begin to breathe again, begin to birth again. It's never too late. And work on you. And while you walking in your call, work on your character. God will work on your character. Conform. And there's things that it takes to conform, because we know our flaws as He shows it to us. Because God will show us when we're walking with Him. He'll begin to show us our ugly. In our personal time with Him, He began to show us that ugly stuff. Because guess what? The closer we get to Him, the more we're convicted. The closer we get to Him, the more we're convicted. There are certain things that I used to do that I can't do no more. I can't. I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with it. And I'm going to tell you, I have to be transparent. Because when you do accept the call, it ain't always easy. It is not always easy. The call comes with a commitment, and you got to be committed to that call. You got to be committed to that call, even when the character want to act up. It's not always easy to sit down at 6:30 on Thursday evenings and do this show. Sometimes on the Thursday, I've just had the worst day on some Thursdays. Some Thursdays, I'm dealing with all kind of other stuff. And the last thing I want to do is come into this studio and say, "What thus saith the Lord." And oftentimes, when I come into this studio and I begin to speak what thus saith the Lord, it's because He spoke it to me first. He spoke it to me first. And I'm so committed to the call. I'm so committed to what He has called me to do. Even when my character is flawed, I'm committed to this call. I'm committed to do what He's called me to do. And that's not easy. That's not always easy. So I want to encourage you all on tonight. Be committed to the call. And when you commit to the call, be obedient as He begins to conform you to the call. And begin to work on your character so that you don't walk around and taint your testimony. It's important that we show ourselves right so that we don't embarrass our Father. We know how we are with our kids. We'll get on our kids. We will put them on timeout, pop them upside their head. "Don't you embarrass me, boy. Don't you embarrass me." And I'm saying to us, let's stop embarrassing our Father. Let's stop embarrassing our Father by sitting on the bench and not walking in all the gifts and talents that He's given us. You know, let's not be the one with the one talent and we go and just bury it on the sitting on the bench and waiting for Jesus to come. We got a lot of those kind of believers just holding on, waiting for Jesus to come. Swing down. What is it? Swing down, sweet chariot. Coming to carry me home. And they just sitting and holding on to God's unchanging hand. And that's not what He called us to do, because He told us that He called us to have life and have life more abundantly. And the abundance come in us walking in the call of God that's on our lives. That's where the abundant life come in at. I want to take a minute, if you're listening in on tonight and you have a question or a comment about tonight's topic, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Love to hear from you. Always love to hear from our listening audience. But if you're not feeling up to speaking on tonight, that's fine. But I definitely want to give you the opportunity. I thank each and every one of you so much for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. It ain't nobody's business but yours. And I just hope that on tonight that there was a word that went forth that you could take and you could hold on to and you could walk in it. I pray that there is a spiritual procedure that will take place in each of your lives that will begin to do a spiritual DNC, cleaning out all the garbage of the past, cleaning out all the dead babies that's just been keeping you bloated and stopped up. You can't, you know, if there's a blockage, you can't receive nothing. You know, everybody know when you got a bottleneck, nothing to go through. There's no throughput. And you've been wondering why your prayers ain't being heard and why ain't nobody hearing my prayers. I feel like I'm just praying and ain't nothing happening. But guess what? Maybe you got a bottleneck. Maybe you got a blockage. So you need to be praying for that DNC to get you cleansed out. You might got too many dead babies blocking you. And if it's too many dead babies blocking the uterus, guess what? None could go up in there. You can't conceive nothing else because you all blocked up. You full. You full of it. And you need to get unfull. You need to go through some spiritual detoxing so that you could begin to receive again. Begin to receive. When God give you a word now you can begin to process that word. And that word start looking like ministry. That word start looking like business. That word start looking like some stuff that you could begin to birth. So you need to get the blockage out. And we just praying now, Father God, for that you would begin to get the bottlenecks out, Father God, that you would begin to make throughput so that we could begin to receive, conceive again, Father God, that we could begin to birth these babies that you have given us, Father God, in the earth realm. Father, we just thank you for each and every one on the call tonight, Father. I pray that you would bless them exceedingly, abundantly, above all they could think or ask, Father. Father God, I pray that they will have a new now, that they will begin to dream again, Father God, that they will get off the bench and get into the game of life, Lord, that they will be vessels for you, Father God, that they will be willing to be used by you, Father God, Lord, that they will tell people about the gospel of Jesus, Lord, that they will cause people through the word, or that the word through them, because they're willing to speak it, will cause people to repent and turn away from life that's not pleasing to you, Father. Father God, we know that the time is drawing near, that you are already beginning to manifest some things, Father God, and we just want to be ready for when you come, Father. We don't want to be foolish like the unwise bride, Father God, that did not prepare, Father. We want to be prepared for your arrival, Father God, and we want to make sure that your people are prepared for your arrival. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, in this season that you are passing out, that you are doing, that you are willing to do spiritual DNCs, Father God, so that we could begin to birth these babies in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight. Please feel free to join us on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Woman to Woman as we continue our business series for the month of March. And then again on next Thursday, the 23rd of March, I will be having on Processing the Pain a special guest that will be coming in, and she's going to be telling her story and how, against all odds, she was able to begin a foundation in her ministry and her business, and it's just an amazing story, a very amazing story. So feel free to join us next Thursday at 7 p.m. And again, just know that you are loved and appreciated, and have a great evening.
Many times I can't see what you do.